Happy New Year! Enjoy this replay episode as we reflect on the past and look to the future. See y'all soon.
This episode of Dear Jessamine has profanity, sex talk, weed smoking, and a bunch of other shit that's just not for everybody. You also may not agree with the stuff we say or how we say it, and we think that's great. We promote cannabis medicine to people over 21. If you're not 21, come back when you are.
What I want to do to myself is selfish.
Good grief. Are you reading the question? Or should I? Can I ever read the question?
Sure.
I might read it this time.
Read it to me.
Okay. I'm going to read the question today.
Dear Jessamine, I really like your talk about polyamory. Me and my partner opened our 6-year relationship 2 years ago. We read More Than Two, and it changed a lot, and it's still a hell. I don't want to read this. Can you read it?
Dear Jessamine, I really like your talk about polyamory. Me and my partner opened our 6-year relationship 2 years ago. We read More Than Two, and it changed a lot, and it's still a hell of a roller coaster ride, but worth it all the way. I can't imagine going back. It totally changed my understanding of love and respect, trust and self-confidence, and the need for responsibility. But it's difficult to organize a life with metamors, especially when they're not used to the concept, but also when you realize different needs for time and commitment. I can't imagine living with more than one partner. I still plan my future and my kids with my man, and there's only a limited time left besides. I'm aware how frustrating the strict boundaries can be for other partners. It's difficult to work around them in a respectful way. I'd really like to know if you have a sort of hierarchy in your relationships. How do you organize your life with different partners? Where do you set boundaries? Do they know each other? What if they don't like each other? Thanks, Jessamine.
All right. Shout out to this person for both them, whoever they, them, he, she, z, her, be, whoever it is. This person, it seemed like she was talking about a husband, right? So she said, it's maybe she, her. Okay, so I hate having to guess a gender. Okay, anyway. She and her husband have both read More Than Two. Did she say she was married? It doesn't really matter, but I'm just very curious. Me and my partner, she said my partner, opened our 6-year relationship. They're not married. She was a husband. I still plan my future and kids with, so future implies to me that like they're not currently in a future state, like they're not married. You know what I mean?
Interesting.
I think she would say
husband. Call. You're right. Yeah. Straight women are like,
straight women love to, no, that's it. Straight women literally are so fucking happy to let people know that they have locked it all the way down. They'll be like, my fiance, my husband. And I'm just like, girl, no, chill.
Low key.
Man. Everyone knows. Everyone knows and no one's interested. Pass. I can tell that y'all have been fucking since high school. Can you tell? I can. Okay, that's not who we're talking about, though. This girl, it seems like she's putting it on him. Or, like, that they're having interesting conversations if they're reading More Than Two.
Wait, they've been together 6 years?
6 years, that's, and they've decided about to open a relationship.
We be just tripping. Like, we have all the time in the world.
I mean,
six years. Y'all better get married.
What the fuck? No, this is what it is. Millennials, we're sitting out here with all this student loan debt, like trying to like pay down, like trying to pay down loans and credit cards and shit. And people are like, you want me to do what now? Am I really in love with you or not?
Am I taking on your student loan debt legally?
And don't let me be divorced, which a lot of millennials, a lot of people our age are divorced. So I'm like, I feel like after the first go around, if the first go around ended by the time I was 28, I'd be like, okay, we could put a pause on this
right.
for a minute.
That's for sure.
I'm out.
That's
like,
so real.
Even if you got married on the cheap, if you got divorced, you are out like 20K.
It won't on the cheap.
It was not for free. Oh my God. Peace be with anyone
Literally.
Who is out there divorced
Literally.
Before 30. I feel you. That shit is heavy.
And you can come to our Thanksgiving dinner.
You can. yeah. Actually, yeah.
We don't want you to
if
be
we
alone
ever...
out there.
Yeah. That sounds amazing. That sounds so. Okay. This is not even what old girl's talking about. She talking about they've been together for 6 years. They just opened the relationship and they read the book More Than Two, which is a very common book for people to read about polyamory and like being in the lifestyle. So, oh girl, they read More Than Two. They've opened up the relationship, but it seems what I'm getting from this is that they are like both seeing other people, or maybe like she's seeing somebody, partner seeing somebody. I'm not sure what's going on, but they're trying to figure out what, how to actually manage the metamorph situation, because the metamorph situation is a real right. thing. Like, I personally, I relate to this question on a really deep level, and my own process is still in progress. I've fucked up a lot with my metamours, with my partner. So like, okay, I feel like we should do an explanatory comma about totally. What a metamour is. So a metamour, I mean, I would define it as like the partner. It's your partner's partner.
Yeah, right. The lover or partner of your lover or partner.
Yeah, it's the lover of your lover. So
it's the partner of your lover. It's yeah. the lover of your partner.
Yeah. So there's a partner who you're with, and then there's the metamour who is who your partner
so
is seeing.
The thing I love about the word yeah. is that it describes the relationship, where otherwise there isn't necessarily a relationship between mm-hmm. you and somebody you're seeing is seeing when you're not there, right? So like, otherwise y'all don't really have a relationship. And so this mm-hmm. word gives access to, in the way that words are really powerful and give access to like behavior that doesn't exist without the concept, words can like make the thing happen. And I feel like with the word metamour, like it assumes that there would obviously be a relationship between somebody who loves the same person as somebody else.
Right. Right. And I think that that's kind of where the question sits, is like, how do you manage those relationships where there's someone who you don't technically need to have any relationship with,
right?
But that you ultimately end up having a lot of connection with, even if you don't know the person, they're still in your life.
Exactly.
And like,
and affect you and affect you emotionally and like make things happen that you didn't prefer.
Exactly.
I'm not speaking from experience. I'm just saying.
I don't know, but I am speaking from experience. You are as well. And I just feel like this is the area where like, I fucked up the most, and I really don't feel like any, I mean, I don't feel like an authority on anything related to this, but I relate to polyamory at all, but I definitely don't feel like one when it comes to metamours, because it's so easy to really be hurting people and not even realize it because you're so wrapped up in your own shit. So like, it's probably important to know that off the bat, that that's a part of human nature, right?
To hurt other people emotionally?
Yeah, I think that that's a part of what we do to each other.
This I don't know what I don't know what human nature is. You know what I mean? What does that mean? What is human nature? Something everyone definitely does. There's no such thing. What is? I don't get it. Honestly, I'm being so serious.
You're making a really good point. Okay,
that's I think we all like about. Are influenced by things and then choose to behave. You know.
Got it. Okay, cool. So I was trying to figure out how to describe this person, this partner in my life, but my live-in and longest partner and I have had so much drama in our constellation, and it's primarily caused, in my opinion, by trying to maintain kind of a loose but evolutionary hierarchy in which some partners have more importance than others. I really don't want to put our past and current partners and metamours on blast, but those who were lied to, told inconsistencies about how we define our relationship, those who were hustled out the back door pre-orgasm to avoid awkward run-ins.
No.
They know who they are and the pain that can be inflicted by lazily labeling partners. But, I mean, I definitely think it's possible to maintain a relationship hierarchy without treating people like shit. Like, I think this is 100% possible. But that's just not been my personal path. Like, I can't, as of now, I don't maintain a relationship hierarchy, and I consider all of my partners to be equal with one another. Is this all making sense?
Totally.
Okay, cool.
I have so many things to say. Like, I just want to ask questions.
Oh, please. What's your question?
I forgot now.
Oh, no. Okay. I can keep going.
Though. Yeah, keep going. Okay. I'll ask.
That said, maintaining a relationship constellation with no hierarchy is a very tricky business.
Does that exist? Is it possible?
To really have no hierarchy?
To really have no hierarchy.
I mean, I think ultimately there's always going to be a time hierarchy. You can't help a time hierarchy.
How long y'all been together?
How long you been with somebody? It's just, I mean, like, and I have been together for longer than you and I have been together, for example. And then, like, you and I have been together for longer than the person that I was with before you.
No, yeah. I feel like, well, more importantly to me, I've been with you longer than everybody you're going to date after me, so.
Exactly. Oh, okay. I got what you're doing. Yeah. Aries.
I got what you're doing. is my favorite part about you.
Yeah. But there's always going to be that hierarchy to me. And mm-hmm. that's something where it's like, what am I supposed to do? Forget dates. forget, in this year, I was doing this thing with this person. Like, obviously, there's going to be that kind of hierarchy. But I don't think that hierarchy has to mean that you treat people differently depending on where they are in the hierarchy. Do you know what I mean?
I think
so. Maybe that's the distinction.
This is what I'll say, and I don't know if it's because your parents love each other still or what, but you do a really good job, I think, of like
come on, tea.
Black tea.
Tea in the booth.
Tea in the booth. I think you do, you're welcome. I think you do a really good job of doing that. I think that's really hard for some people. I think either because of power and like power games and whatever, or something else. I just think that you do a better job than anybody I've seen in polyamorous circumstances actually do it.
You're saying, can the hierarchy really exist? Like, can there really not be a hierarchy?
Uh-huh.
And I think there's some truth there that like maybe there can't always be, like, there is always a hierarchy that that there's always going to be the amount of time that you've been with someone. And so you can run down the relationships that way.
Well, I mean, I'm pro hierarchy, so I'm certainly not. It reminds me of when we're watching Downton Abbey. I feel like I am that person who, it does not behoove me, it does not benefit me as a serf to be into the monarchy, but, like, I'm into the monarchy. Like, I just believe in it, whatever. You know? You know what I'm trying to say?
I mean, but then the monarchy, while they acknowledge the monarchy,
uh-huh.
they also are seeing themselves as representative of the people. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that, like, that's the whole point of a monarchy, is that, but somewhere between the church, if the church is going to run, and the state, if they're going to run the country, then there needs to be something above them to keep them in check, to keep that, to keep the balance. So,
and that's the monarchy.
And that person should be ordained by God. I mean, I think that's my general understanding of monarchy. So, but the people who are not in the monarchy think that the monarchy is above them. There's this feeling of like the monarchy is above you. But the monarchy is always, should always be like, I'm just like you at the end of the day. Do you know what I mean?
Interesting.
I'm also pro-monarchy. I understand. Okay, so this is my thing about a hierarchy. I think there's a difference between a hierarchy and people filling different roles in your life.
Say more.
Hierarchy to me is numbers. It's like, this is my number one. Mm-hmm. This is number two.
Because they come first and they come second.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's different than this person is there for me in this capacity, in this space, at this time. And this other person isn't there for me in this capacity, in this space, at this time. And they're not, they don't line up. It's not the same thing. They can't offer the same things. But it's not a numbered list. It's not like, okay, well, this one is number one and you're more important. It should be that, like, everyone is important.
I think that's what I mean, though, is I think you're better than most people at thinking and understanding that everyone's important anyway.
But so what I was going to say is that I think that you and I have not been seeing each other for that long, so you would say that. But I think that those who I have dated in the time that I've been involved, I have dated a lot of people for a good number of years, like multiple people for 3-ish years, like several people for like at least a year. And during and in all of those, I've seen the ways that like I personally fuck up at being like respectful. And then so then in that time, so that's like with my partners. But then in that time with my metamorphs, with the partners of my partners, I feel like I've been really not great. And we're talking about hierarchies right now, not talking about metamorphs.
Well, it's all for the same cause.
That's true. Okay. I think there's this part of me, the Virgo rising is like, okay, I just want to stick to the plan. So this is the order that we're going to talk about it because it gets confusing. And I just want to make sure that it's clear that I understand what we're talking about. So whatever, that's just me. That said, maintaining a relationship constellation with no hierarchy for me is a very tricky business. Mm. My first step is very clearly determining how many people I actually have the capacity to date. Like, real talk, how much attention do I have to offer? And I think of this, I think in metaphors and analogies, so like all my shit is kind of off the wall. But I think of this as how many pots and pans can I afford to have on the stove at one time? So personally, my proverbial stove is already full as fuck. Like, I'm a daughter, a sister, a boss, a coworker, a creator. I don't really have time to be out here dating the whole fucking neighborhood. It also depends on the kind of connection that I'm trying to have with other people. Like, if I'm just trying to get my dick wet and I'm not really trying to be too serious with anybody, like, I might be able to add quite a few pots to the stove. It's kind of like if you're trying to fry up a grilled cheese at 2 a.m., like you might also decide to scramble some eggs at 2 a.m. Like you could do a couple of things at the same time. But if you're out here trying to have like deep emotional connections and shit like that, like I more often than not am trying to have a deep emotional connection with somebody, I feel like that's kind of like cooking a stew or slow braising some meat. Shit takes time, and each pot takes up a lot of space. Personally, I think my stove only has the capacity for 2 to 3 people. I like to get my dick wet, but my double Cancerian ass likes to get emotional. Likes to get very emotional. And after capping the number of people that I can handle, I also like to think that regardless of how frequently we see each other, every partner deserves to feel that they're getting a balanced amount of my presence and attention. It's kind of like there's no small parts, only small actors. Like, even someone I only see at 4 a.m. every other Wednesday deserves to be treated like their emotions matter and that they have value in my life. This is my biggest fuck up overall. I have a horrible habit of treating people like shit. And thinking kind of like out of sight, out of mind. But like long distance boos and low time commitment boos, they deserve the same attention and presence as a spouse or live-in partner. And I feel like so often what we end up doing is treating the people that get the least amount of time with us like shit. Like you treat that person like it's like, well, you know, and the least amount of time, like you might see them every day and they still get the least amount of time. Like, maybe because it's frequent, you think it's not that often. It's not that big of a deal. But like, okay, so the person I'm speaking to is this person who wrote this message, who's in a long-term committed relationship with someone where like y'all live together, you're planning your future together. That's your boo. Like, you know what's good. They know what's good. You're settled. You want to be over here in another relationship with somebody else who maybe does not have that. They're not in a long-term committed relationship with somebody else. They're getting deeply connected to you. And they're like, I want from you what you're getting from this other person. And that's where you have to be like, what can I really offer? Like, how much can I really give somebody else?
Because it's not your job to give that to them just because they want it. If you don't have it, you know what I'm saying? Like, it started to sound like you were going down that path of like, you got a man, like, this person don't got a man, like, you gotta be nice to them.
Oh my God, no. I think it's like, you just have to, I mean, I think that that's, the reality is that you have to remember, like, all of these different things are at play. Because sometimes, excuse me, I think it comes from not, I mean, I think it's just selfishness. Like, we're all selfish. We're thinking about ourselves. We're not thinking about other people. And we think that we get into relationships with other people to have connections with them. Fuck that, man. People get in relationships with other people to learn about themselves and, mm-hmm. like, to have a mirror staring back at you. And often we get mad at the mirror because it's not giving us what we want. And, like, I don't know. I mean, it's like, I feel like that's, so that was another thing. I have this written. It's further down my list, but it's something about how I feel like we always have to check the reason that we're in relationships. Mm-hmm. Like, what is it that we're trying to get from another person? Because sometimes, like, you have somebody that you see every other Wednesday at 2 a.m. and you think it's chill and they are acting like it's chill, but they're really not actually chill. They're really trying to have something serious. Mm-hmm. And maybe they're not really communicating that with you because they think that you can't handle it or, like, whatever. I don't know. I'm off on a thing now.
I mean, I'm just trying to, I'm, like, trying to think if I've ever had that, like, if I know what you're talking about. And, like, I had this lover as a teenager who was, like, in college, and I was, like, I had moments of being, like, man, you're in college, like, running around. But, like, I also was, like, I hope you're doing everything you need to and want to in college. Like, I was at home, you know, not in college yet. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of like that, but generally speaking, I think I'm way too direct to get caught up in this. You know what I mean?
Like, to have a situation where you didn't, where someone wasn't being clear about what they wanted.
Well, like, I think, like, I've heard, like, my ex, I'm thinking about this story where my ex was involved in this relationship that she thought was, like, going swell. And then, like, years later, that person, like, talked about the relationship, like, she had played them out. Mm. Because, like, she was only, like, doing a little and they were trying to do a lot. Mm-hmm. But she was oblivious. She was like, I thought we were just kicking it, you know? So I just can't imagine being in that circumstance because I'm just so direct about everything. You know, I'm just like, this is what I want and I want it right now. What do you think?
That's real. That's super real.
So I'm like, I don't relate.
I mean, I'm trying to, like...
Go ahead.
Because the thing is, I feel like I know that you've been in this situation before.
Yeah.
But, like...
Probably.
I think that... I think it does come from us not being direct with one another. Mm-hmm. But, like, I also think that it's... I just think it's really common. Shit, there was something else I was going to say. I feel like the metamors piece with the amount of time that you have to offer people is understanding that... And this is one of the hardest parts for me personally, and the part that gets me deep in my feelings, is, like, when your partner is dating someone else, and they have, they that person, they're in a relationship with that person as well. They're not just in a relationship with you. They need to give to that relationship as well. And when they're not around as much as they once were, that part for me is really difficult. And I think that that can make the relationship with the meta more difficult because then we're resentful toward that person. And it's like, you're taking them away from me. Or like I don't, excuse me, like we were all having a great time before you got here. It's very much like a sibling relationship, like where you're like, if my older siblings out there may understand this better, but I
when
feel
you're
like,
five and a baby shows up, it's like,
you're five but and a baby shows up.
Why don't
up.
You leave now?
No, because at first you're like, oh, this is going to be fun. And then you're like, wait, what?
Man, I'm the baby of the family and y'all did treat me like that.
I'm still the baby of the family.
You're
I don't want to be the oldest.
No, you're not.
No, just kidding. I didn't really feel that way toward my brother. I was pretty happy about him.
He's pretty great.
To be happy about him. Yeah, he's a really chill person.
Shout out to Jessamine's brother.
Right. Just shout out. Oh, yeah. I think that when we're not able to give a partner our full attention or our full presence, that it's probably time to reevaluate the relationship's purpose and what it's offering all involved parties. Because sometimes I think we're just only in relationships for selfish reasons. It's definitely hard for all partners to understand the balancing of a poly relationship. And to me, this happens even when everyone is poly. You know what I mean? Because that's, so there's the situation where it's like, not everybody in the relationship, not everybody in the constellation is poly.
Even when they say they are.
Even when they say they are. Oh my God. Fake polyamory is an epidemic in 2019.
This needs to go into the glossary episode, fake polyamory.
Oh my God.
Abbreviated to simply fake poly.
Fake poly. It's bad poly is another one.
Bad poly is different.
No, but it's another term. Mm-hmm. Fake poly, bad poly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Peak poly.
Peak poly. Peak poly. Okay.
More than two in Metamore. Okay, go.
Even when everyone is poly, I feel like it's hard for people to catch the balance of shit. Like, it's not like there's a magic formula for it. Everyone is different. Everyone mm-hmm. is... Every relationship is going to be different. And, like, I feel like generally everybody's fucking up. I don't know anyone who's doing it all right. I know there's people who are doing really great jobs.
Whatever. I feel like that wouldn't be human.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? If folks aren't fucking up and, like, learning from it, like, what's the point?
It's hard to balance all of the different things.
In fact, I kind of feel like, you know, do you know this term rising to... You're, what is it? Rising to the level of your own incompetence? Do you know that? It's just basically like, you, of course, you push all the way to the thing you until you don't know the thing. Mm-hmm. It's like, I feel like, I don't know, I feel like we have capacity for like more of these kinds of engagements, like real depth, like in multiple directions. And so we find each other and then we do it. But it's because it's harder than not doing it. And we choose it because we're going for that. You know what I mean? Like, we have the capacity for it and we want to feel that challenge in this lifetime, you know? Which isn't to say it should be messy, but is to say that it shouldn't just be, like, easy. Right?
Right. Yeah, no, I don't think it's meant to be easy at all. I think, I mean, I think that, I think we're sort of conditioned to believe that things are supposed to come easy or that we're supposed to be good
at
things.
No, I heard something on the radio this morning about, like, the end of suffering. And I was like, wait a second.
Oh, God.
The end of suffering?
People are so sketchy with
that. I feel you, like, the end of, like a completely unnecessary, like, poverty and famine and shit when there's, like, way too much food in the world. I get that. But the end of suffering, I feel like, is, like, a deeper thing that we're doing, which is, like, trying to run from all our lessons and stuff.
I actually think that people literally are trying to run from their lessons. And also, we're living in a time of such, like, awkward privilege and, like, wealth.
Pre-collapse.
Yeah, we're in the pre-collapse. And I think that people are not... as in tuned with their life purpose as much. Mm-hmm. Like, they're too, like, there's too much time to, like, be concerned about shit that doesn't matter. Like, you're not concerned with, like the basic things that that humans are supposed to be doing, which is, like...
Also known as bare necessities.
They're not concerned with the bare necessities of life. They're concerned with nonsense. And I feel like, as a result, it creates... this really unnecessary suffering that, like, ultimately the end of suffering should be the end of focusing on shit that doesn't matter and coming back to, like, the truth. But
probably won't.
People also don't want to. Probably won't. Okay. So we talked about what a metamore is. There was a question in here about, like, should metamores meet or, like, do they need to... engage with one another? How do you deal with that? My thing is, personally, I don't think metamores need to know each other. Always need to know each other. I think that, like,
okay. Can I just back this up really quick?
Yeah, that's it.
The question is, I'd really like to know if you have a sort of hierarchy. How do you organize your life with different partners? Where do you set boundaries? Do they know each other? What if they don't like each other? And I think they're asking you specifically.
Oh, I see.
Where do you set boundaries?
Yeah.
Do they know each other? What if they don't like each other?
Okay, well, I'll answer specifically, but then I want to answer generally as well.
Sounds great.
I mean, I'm grown in poly, so my people know each other. I don't know. Like, that's... My thing about it is that I feel like you don't have to know each other. But if you're in community, you probably will know each other.
Mm-hmm. You probably already know each other.
You probably already know each other. And if you're not in community, that's different.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like if you are, then you probably know each other. So everybody knows each other for me. And like, I do think that there are people that I could spend less time with, like my live-in partner's girlfriend. I could see her a lot less, even though like I live in the house too. I also travel a lot, and like she lives somewhere too, so like they don't have to be up at the house all the time. But like we kick it, because my thing is, if you're grown and you're saying that you are polyamorous, then a huge part of your code of conduct needs to be like honesty and everything out on the table.
Mm-hmm.
Again, a place where I have really fucked up. And this is only just recently. This is like the first metamor constellation that I've been in where I felt like, okay, where I felt like this was the case. Like I'm not before this. It's been like somebody doesn't know something. Somebody doesn't know something, or somebody or whatever. And there's a lot of reasons why that might need to be the case. I'm not even saying that like if I could go back, I would do it differently, because mm-hmm. I don't think that I would. But
interesting.
Because all steps, I think every step of growth is important.
For sure.
Well,
wait, I don't mean to say for sure, like that's not actually the whole point of this entire episode, because it kind of is. Like, I think that like this whole like, I think that like this question is like rooted in this, like deeper search for how do I do this smoothly? Like, how do we make this a thing that nobody struggles with? Mm-hmm. And like, I mean, for me, it's just kind of like, I have wanted things that are just so off the wall. Like, like when I first started wanting to date more than one person at the same time, it was like, what are you talking about? How is that ever going to work? Like, what's wrong with you? Right. And then when that was like obvious and like, duh, you just do it, like other shit comes and it's just like, I don't know. I just feel like it's supposed to be challenging. Like, that's what we're doing this shit for. Like, you're supposed to just make it up as you go. That's why we're doing it first or whatever. You know what I mean? That's like why there's no major religion that like discusses this in the way that we do or whatever. It's because we're kind of like doing it in a different way than it has been done before. And so you got to make it up, and you got to do what feels good. You know when you're disrespecting somebody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know when you're, if you are doing it, you're not willing to tell that person. What you're not respecting them enough to do is say, hey, we shouldn't be doing this.
Right.
And I've gotten better and better at that over time, but I still suck at it, you know?
Right. I feel like we're all supposed to be in a constant state of evolution.
Right.
There's supposed to be change. You're supposed to be learning. You're supposed to fall. You're supposed to fuck up and not do it right. I don't remember you not communicating well at the start of our relationship, so I don't really remember that in that way.
It wasn't with you. I was dating other people that I just like broke up with poorly.
Yeah.
Bad poly.
Okay. So I hear now what we're talking about. I was very confused about what we were talking about, because you were not saying a lot of different things.
I'm bad at not saying things.
Right.
And so here we are in front of the microphones and I'm like, don't say their name. Don't say the thing.
No,
and so
I'm like, you're omitting so much stuff that I'm like, what are we even talking about?
My bad.
Okay.
I'll smooth that out over time, I'm sure.
Yeah. I was like, what's happening? Okay.
No, it's just like that inevitable uncomfortable thing where you're going to say something that somebody doesn't want to hear. And I know as a white woman raised in the South that like that is like the most sacrilegious thing you can do, is to tell a human being something they don't want to hear. You're here for everybody's pleasure. Like, you are required to only do things that people want from you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that's true in other demographics as well. That is my experience. And it's just, it takes a lot of work, I think, to get to a place where it's like not about that anymore. It's just about doing you and like being honest, you know. And I'm still not there. Like, I work really hard to be like, I want this thing, even though it's not what the other person wants.
I also think that like, I feel like that's why we're in relationships with one another, is to have those. We're there to hurt each other. We're there to make each other happy. We're there to hurt each other. We're there to pick each other up. We're there to teach each other. And that's the purpose of the relationship. And that what we're not there to do is to stand on a pedestal and just like be the same forever and like stand still in time. But I think that the media, films, society, whatever, however you want to characterize it, that they lead us to believe the opposite of that.
That you're fucking up if you don't marry your high school sweetheart and live happily ever after.
Yeah. Personally, I don't think metamors always need to know each other, specifically because they might not like each other. And I think it just creates a lot of unnecessary drama. Now, meeting each other, knowing each other is different from knowing that the other person exists. I think the metamors, I think everybody needs to know who is present and accounted for. There should be a head count. I'm involved with this person, this person, this person, this person. This is who they are to me. This is what they do. Like, everybody needs to know all of that information. Mm-hmm. But I feel like, generally speaking, for me, I don't think I need to personally know everybody. There are people that my partners have been involved with that I've never met, and I don't ever care to know these people. And like, and it's no shade on them. I'm sure I get the impression that they're lovely. They're dating an amazing person. This is so like, you're great. I don't need to know you. When I had a situation with you, if you want to talk about some shit that's happened with us, I had a situation with you where someone, my metamor, someone that you were dating, wanted to meet me. And so y'all rolled up at my house out of nowhere so that they could meet me.
I definitely hit you up prior. I didn't just roll up.
You hit me up out of nowhere and said, we're around the corner, essentially. You were like, we're right nearby. We're going to come through. And I was just like, I mean, sounds great. Because, I mean, again, like, I don't care. I don't have an issue with this. But I really got the impression in that situation, and I could be wrong, but I really got the impression that my metamor wanted to meet me because they wanted to size me up, essentially. They wanted to have a better picture of the situation, which to me is the reason to meet the metamor, ultimately, because it's like, I just want to put a face to the name. You know what I mean? Like, I have a mental picture, and they've described you, and I know who you are, what's good. But actually, I would like to know more about you. And then the question becomes, why do you want to know more about me? What's there to know?
I'll say that I have had the experience of being sized up by a metamor. And it's like, and I know for this person who wanted to meet you, it's definitely not that in the way that you're, in the challenging way you're talking about. I know that it's not for me when I am told that I'm being challenging when I'm not trying to be. And I know it's not for that person. And that they were really trying to like start a dialogue because they ultimately believe in this like bigger thing. I think they also were recognizing that like our relationship was evolving to a place where like I was choosing to spend more of my time with you than I was with them.
That's exactly my point, is that so this is the thing. It's not just because they're like, oh, let me know this person. You know, like this is, there's so many great people. Let me get to know this one. No, they're like, let me size up this bitch that my person has been seeing. I was seeing this person way more before. And now all of a sudden, on the times when we used to kick it, now you're getting french fries with this bitch. You out here, y'all are going to the movies. You're doing, you know, this. You're hanging out in bed. I don't know what you're doing. What are you doing? Where is it happening? Let me meet this person. Mm-hmm. I totally get that feeling. And I am anti that feeling. I feel like that is the feeling in myself that I was trying to like, that's why I'm like not attached to meeting people or like trying to make like metamor kick it things happen. It's weird that I'm currently in a situation where we're out here like planning fucking Friendsgiving together and like doing like all these, like we're like, oh, let's
being adorable.
Yeah. Like we're all just being kind of a poly lifestyle fucking, I don't even know what advertisements.
Better Homes and Gardens.
Better Homes
Fred.
And Gardens. It's funny that that's happening now because generally I don't need it. You know what I mean? I feel like you have what you have with that person. And if we need to meet, we will. Because that's my thing, is that when and if hoes need to meet, They'll meet. There's no need to rush fate. Everyone will meet when it's time for them to meet. I don't think that you should hide people. Like, I think that everyone needs to know who's in the game. But you don't need to have, like, there's no need to, like, set up a brunch. It's like, oh, so this is...
you're also... Okay, you're leaving.
We've been dating. We've been on... What's it?
Go ahead. What's the joke?
I met this person on Tinder, and like
we've been on six dates.
We've been on six dates.
So it's time to have brunch at the house.
We had a few sleepovers, so let's have brunch at the house so everyone can get to know each other.
We can come on downstairs.
We're going to make mimosas. It'll be great. No.
You don't need it.
I don't need it because it feels artificial to me.
It doesn't have to be, though. I mean, I think that the other thing that is as important as everything else you're saying is that you are on the most extreme end of the introvert extrovert spectrum towards the introvert side. And so, and I know a handful of people like this. It's like you skew the curve and it's okay. You can, but like I not only love hanging out with people, want to do it all the time, don't mind doing it in the morning or in the evening, whenever, but also I'm intensely curious about, like, if you're dating, if you're in love with somebody I'm in love with, like, I want to know who you are and who are you in relation to me and, like, what do we have in common and what would we laugh at the same and, like, how would spending time together be? Because I'm consistently thinking about spending time with people because I like doing it. You know what I mean?
That's so interesting.
So it's just, I think it's just, like, maybe, and maybe I'm really weird and I'm definitely on the other exact end of the spectrum.
No, I think you are literally the other side of the spectrum.
Yeah.
Wow, because I can't tell you how many things in what you just said I disagree with. I'm like, okay, just the concept of wanting to spend time with people is just completely
like you lost me. You've lost me there.
Every time you said it, I was like, what are you talking about? Stop saying this. Because truly, people are the worst. And the thing is, like, you find a few, they're cool. And this is my thing, that if I've cut a few that are cool, and then they find some more that are cool. I know that they're cool because you're vouched for. Mm-hmm. I know you. I see.
So you don't need it. So you're all set.
I'm all set. If you come by the house and like you're funny.
We're going to smoke
weed.
Because
the thing is, inevitably, you're going to do something that's going to make me upset. Like, this is the thing. You're going to do something that I'm going to feel like,
because
what
it's
the fuck?
Easier than most things to do when you're really trying to be alone in your house and there's people in your house. It's not even about who it is.
No, it's that, okay, this is, and like, I'm trying to keep it as real as I can. You're saying like, Jessamyn, how do you really feel about this? Like, how do I really feel about it? Is that I'm selfish as fuck and I'm jealous as fuck. And I do not enjoy watching my partner be with their other partner. I don't love it. Like, it's fine. And currently, I watch my live-in partner be with their girlfriend, and I'm at a place with that where, like, I feel really, really different about it. Like, I'm evolving to a place where I can feel, like, sweet toward it and mm-hmm. feel like, that's really beautiful that they, like, I love that they love each other. You know what I mean? Like, that's beautiful.
That's compersion.
But that is years, and it's years of work on myself mm-hmm. and I think it is bullshit when people are like, yeah, I don't feel that at all, like I've never felt like, you know, like selfish or jealous or like, because I'm like, the reality is that as much as I'm feeling I'm doing that work now, I have felt in the past like I don't even want to see, don't touch their shoulder. Whose shoulder are you touching? What are you doing? Why are y'all sitting next to each other now? Just gonna sit next to each other in front of me? Oh, okay, that's fucking rich. Okay, so now, we're out. Oh, y'all just gonna have a private moment in the corner like that? The corner of the bar that I'm at? What the hell is this? So, like, this is what happens when you come out as poly in your 20s. So you have a lot of that. And I mean, like, I think
that's real. Good call. That's exactly right.
Thank you. And I mean, I think that,
because that is how you are going to react to whatever circumstance you're in. And if you're fucking a bunch of people, it's going to be that circumstance. And that's how you are. That's so funny.
That's how you are. Like, we have the way that we want to be, and then we have the way that we are.
Yes.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with how we are. I think the work of the lifestyle is to really engage with that and to like see where the jealousy comes from and to understand, like, why do I feel so selfish? What is it that I'm looking for outside of myself that I could actually get inside of myself? And I just think that at the end of the day, like, it's a beautiful thing, all this work. The metamors are helpful. I mean, like, I feel like I've learned so much from the people that have been in relationships with my partners, and I'm grateful for them for every time that they touched a shoulder and I wasn't ready for it and I thought that I could have run them out in the streets.
Damn.
This is what I'm saying. I am a fire rabbit fucking fire. Like, I am a very aggressive person, and like, I think in big
motions.
So, I mean, yeah. And I mean, I think a lot of people do. I think that we all have darkness inside of us, and we have brilliant light inside of us as well. It's how you can see the darkness, how you can see the light. Anyway, this is kind of yoga real quick. Does that sound right? Like, we drop page, wrap it up, cut it off? Is that plenty for you?
Dear Jessamine is a production of Tenderfire Media. My producer and co-host is Ash Danger Phoenix. Theme music and general sweetness is by Fruit Snack. Look them up on Instagram at FruitsnackNC or on bandcamp.fruitsnack.com. Episode art and really funny professional emails by Janie Leopard. Go drool over her art on Instagram at Janie Leopard or at janieleopard.com. I'm your host, Jessamine Stanley. Follow the show on Spotify or probably any other place you would reasonably hope to find a podcast.
And if that place for you happens to be Apple Podcasts, go ahead and rate and review the show. It really means a lot. You know what? Okay, I'm not going to say who it was, but I saw one of our friends on Tinder.
Oh, no.
This is a good story.
Okay.
I was like at a place in my life when I didn't really know how to talk about cannabis use mm-hmm. with people who, like, I wasn't ready to be like, this is just a part of who I am.
Yeah.
Or like, this is like something that you should know if you're going to be close to me in any capacity at all.
Yeah.
So I scrolled past one of our friends, and they just said 420 every day. And I was like, that's all you need to know.
That's
like,
hell yeah.
Like, we don't need to know why. We don't have to talk about it if you don't want to. That's okay. But I'm not going to not do it.
I promise you.
And it helped me make that decision. Do you know who it was?
We can talk about it, not on this. I'm curious about who it was.
Do you know in your heart?
I feel like if they're listening, they know who they are. And if they if somebody swiped on them, that they know who it is. I'm like, this is what I'm about to do. Mm-hmm. On any apps that I'm currently on, I'm about to change the only thing it's going to say is 420 every day.
420 every day.
That's all I need to know. If you know, then you know. And if you don't, then we don't need to do this. I just don't have time for people who don't understand anything about the plant and then have a lot of opinions about it, because that's just, I feel like it's not a good use of my time. It's not a good use of their time.
Right.
And I don't need to listen to them parrot shit that they don't even understand. So I'm just like, because the arguments that people give don't make sense. They're not based in fact. And I just don't have time for it. So that's that. Okay, but that's not even what we're talking about. So.
Tender Fire.
Drop page.